everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Who Is My Doctor?
Who is my doctor?
Who is indeed? I'm your host, Zach, and I know a lot about Doctor Who.
And I'm also your host, Cassie, and I don't know a lot about Doctor Who.
And today we're getting our start on Series 3 with Smith and Joe! Oh my god! Oh god, Cassie! A piano fell on her! Oh god, what have we done? Oh god, she's regenerating. The light is burning me. Oh god. It's horrible. She's a man now.
Ah, new teeth.
Hi.
And you are? Hi, my name is Liam, and I am also part of this podcast now.
I guess so. And welcome to this episode of Who Is My Doctor?
Who is my doctor?
Who is my girlfriend? I see you came prepared with notes.
I came with notes on a laptop. And Zach, I have a question for you.
Okay.
How much do you know about Magic the Gathering?
Oh god, she's a dork now.
She was always a dork.
I know a little bit about Magic the Gathering. I played it for a little bit. I didn't get into it as much as I did Yu-Gi-Oh! That was my card game of choice as a teen. But Magic was sort of just something that I've played the video game on Steam. But I wouldn't say I know it inside and out in any capacity.
Fair enough. So you might know a little bit about, like,
I know the basic structure of lands and tapping.
Yeah. Great. You know, you tap lands to cast spells. There's some other things that are also more important than that.
Yeah.
But more important than the concept of the game, did you know, Zach, that they released Doctor Who Magic the Gathering cards?
I did, in fact, know about that.
They've been out for a while since you started this podcast.
They're not. I guess it's super timely for you to regenerate in this moment for us to talk about them.
I know. It's so convenient that I generated into this huge dork who's all about Magic the Gathering for this now Magic the Gathering podcast. That's right. I'm taking over the podcast for the next approximately hour. It's mine now. This is not a Doctor Who podcast. This is a Magic the Gathering podcast with Doctor Who elements.
All right, well, we'll clean up the fucking piano bits around you, and let's talk about these.
Okay, so the wonderful group of Wizards of the Coast, headed by Gavin Verhey, I hope I pronounced his name correctly, released a set of Commander decks all about Doctor Who.
Is that you're the commander? Is that what that means?
So Commander is a format of Magic the Gathering where you have a deck of 100 cards.
Oh, wow.
One card is your commander. It has to be a legendary creature or something that is allowed to be your commander.
Okay.
It'll say specifically on the card.
So presumably that's the Doctor in most of these cases.
In most of these cases, yes.
Okay.
Or sometimes dastardly villains.
Alrighty.
So they created 183 brand new cards.
Wow.
Specifically that are Doctor Who.
Wow.
And then on top of that, they did like another, let me scroll down to the bottom of this article that I have saved. You know, notes. Then they have another 136 cards that are reprints that have flavorings of Doctor Who. So what I have for you today, Zach, I have a list of cards that are flavorful.
Okay.
I am only up to the Matt Smith Doctor. So I've stopped gathering cards based on where I'm at in the show because I will have no frame of reference.
What are you talking about? You've only watched up to the end of season two with me. Shut up. This is a stupid bit. Let's keep talking.
No, it's the wonderful part about being a Time Lord. I'm from a different time. You
regenerated with more knowledge about the show.
I regenerated with more knowledge about the show. It's wild. I found the River Song and learned learned a lot about the show.
Well, all right then.
So normally we have the Cassie Profassi.
We do normally have the Cassie Profassi.
So now we have the Zachary's Guesses. It's not going to be a good name.
Good news is it doesn't have to come back.
No, hey, it's gonna. You think this is the only time I'm coming back? I'm taking over. So the game is, subjectively, is the card good?
Okay.
Is the flavor good?
Okay.
That's really, that's not like a yes or no question. It's more of like a, what do you think? Is this, do you think this is accurate? Do you think it represents, the,
represents
card
the card
well?
Okay.
Exactly. And then, do you think it's a niche card or a staple card? Niche okay. being like, it works specifically with decks that do that
now,
thing.
Now, am I getting this info before, am I just having to guess like from the name of the card?
Oh, or no, I'm gonna show you the card
okay.
and you can read the text.
Okay.
Yeah, this is now a show about reading cards and guessing their relevance in the Magic the Gathering meta.
Okay.
And then you're going to guess approximately what its cost is. Now, Magic the Gathering is a lot like playing the lottery and stocks, because you're going to open random packs of Magic cards, mm-hmm. hope you get the expensive ones, and then while the game is being played behind you, cards are going to become more relevant, therefore more expensive.
Okay.
Or new cards are going to come out to make them more relevant. So, like, the prices of them go up and down all the time.
Okay. I seem to remember this happening with Yu-Gi-Oh! A lot, too.
Yes. Yes. So, I'm going to give you a heads up. Most of the cards are about $1.50.
Okay.
I'm going to give you a $2 grace.
Okay.
So, if the card is worth a penny, if you guess $1.50, you're good.
Okay.
But some of the cards are like $40.
Okay.
So
that's the range we're working on, from a penny to $40.
Basically.
Okay, cool.
We're not going to go over any of the serialized cards, because those are spooku bucks, because they're serialized collector pieces.
Mm-hmm. They're not playing cards anymore. They are.
No, you get these graded and then you put them in a little plastic box and then you put them on a shelf and then you let them collect dust.
And if so much as a fly sneezes on them, you kill that fucking fly.
You kill that fly and its family. So, to start, oh, also, there's one rule.
Okay.
Don't be wrong.
Don't be wrong. Okay.
So, we're going to start with the Ninth Doctor.
Alrighty. Let's take a look at Mr. Eccleston here.
Mr. Eccleston, that's his art. Follow along at home, Google the Magic the Gathering cards.
And it's a beautiful design.
Oh, yeah.
With the TARDIS glowing behind him. I don't entirely know what this scene is supposed to represent, because there's never really a moment where he's like standing outside the TARDIS and being like, come with me. Come no. with me into my beacon of light.
Come here. So this is the Ninth Doctor. He costs one generic, one blue, one red. If you don't know any of the terms I'm talking about, get good, nerd. He's a legendary creature, Time Lord Doctor. He has the ability Haste, and Into the TARDIS, whenever the Ninth Doctor becomes untapped during your untap steps, you get an additional upkeep step after this step.
So he's doing a lot of steps.
He's doing a lot of steps.
A lot of stepping on this one.
I can dance.
Yes. He's a 2/4, 2 power, 4 toughness. And
I appreciate that his quote is fantastic.
Yes. That's... So there's a lot of flavor text too, which is fantastic. So he is not a face card for, mm-hmm. for the commander decks.
Okay.
He's one of the 99.
Okay.
The other thing important about commander, none of the cards except for basic lands are allowed to be duplicates.
All
so right. you're having 90, you're having one commander and then 99 other cards that cannot be duplicates. Except for the lands.
Okay.
The basic lands.
Gotcha.
So every other card has to be a one of.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
So he gives you a lot of untap upkeep abilities. Upkeep is like, you know, when you draw.
Mm-hmm.
So theoretically, he gives you an extra draw.
You know, when you draw like you, cards
in the beginning of your turn.
Yeah. So it looks so I guess this one is more about making sure that because you have a lot of one offs, it's keeping like the what you have usable. Is that what I'm understanding?
Yeah, so
it's letting you repeat things because you can't repeat things in your deck.
Normally, yeah. Normally, you have one upkeep step. We have okay. one untap, one upkeep.
Okay.
And that's all in the beginning. So he allows you to have multiple of those in the beginning of your turn.
Interesting. Okay. So you said he's not a face card, meaning that he's not like a guarantee that you get out of any particular pack. Is that what you're?
So face card being like when you buy the deck.
Okay.
The face card is like the commander that they recommend.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's not one of those.
No. He's part of the deck. He's not the face of the deck.
Interesting. If he's not the commander, I think that means he's not going to be worth as much in my mind. So I'm going to guess he's probably worth $3.
Okay.
I do think it seems like he's a good card.
You see, yeah, he is considered a niche card,
mm-hmm.
but in any deck that's going to have a lot of stuff going on in your upkeep, or mm-hmm. so like extra draw steps in your upkeep, additional abilities triggering during your upkeep,
mm-hmm.
he's pretty solid.
Okay.
Just because, you know, the colors blue and red, they have a lot to do with instant speed, being able to cast spells whenever you want to. Really, he gives you a lot of options in the beginning of your turn, and then that kind of gives you more to do with later parts of your turn.
Okay.
Flavor-wise, he's fast on his feet.
Suits that doctor quite a bit.
Yeah.
I guess $3, you told me it's a niche card, but I do think it's like a good niche card.
It's definitely a good niche card. We're going to click on the Ninth Doctor, and he is... Ooh, so sorry, Zach. He's 13 cents.
Oh, man.
You guessed three. Unfortunately,
it's in the wrong place.
Oh, man.
I broke the one rule. I was wrong.
You were wrong. Now, we're going to count up how many you had right and how many you had wrong at the end of the game.
Okay.
And there might be consequences.
Okay.
We'll get to that later.
For every one you get wrong, I give you one purple nurple.
For every one you get wrong, I have to give you a wedgie.
It's how many flushes before you're swirly.
So the next card is going to be Rose Tyler. Rose Tyler is a legendary creature, human. She costs one generic and one white. Rose Tyler gets +1/+1 for each time counter on it. And her ability is Bad Wolf. Whenever Rose Tyler attacks, put a time counter on it for each suspended card you own and each other permanent you control with a time counter on it. And it has the other ability, Doctor's Companion. So this ability specifically, Doctor's Companion, typically in Commander, you only have one legendary creature as your commander.
Okay.
The Doctor's Companion ability allows you to have them as a additional commander. So Rose Tyler and the Ninth Doctor can be two commanders together.
I will say, just to comment on the art here, I think this is considerably worse than Eccleston's design. I this clearly has way more talent put into it, but something about the shading on it just... I don't know what it is exactly. It doesn't really look like Billy Piper.
No, I feel like the art that they went for here is more towards like the end of that first series where she has the Bad Wolf.
Yeah.
Like she becomes
yeah.
part of the time warp again.
So they made a jump to the left is what you're saying.
Yes. And just a step to the right. Time counters and suspend cards.
I mean, it sort of has the instructions in there that the time counters plot that will give her +1/+1. So this is sort of she's sort of like the longer she can stick around, the quicker she'll stack up.
Yes, the longer she's there, the better she becomes. In Magic, suspend is an ability you have on a card, so you don't cast it from your hand. You exile it, so it exists out in the ether.
Mm-hmm.
And then after it runs out of time counters, it gets cast for free. You have to pay an ability, so like it might cost one red to suspend it for four turns.
Interesting.
And then, so it gets placed with, it has four suspend
So this counters. Is definitely another niche card is kind of what you're telling me.
Yeah, it's another niche card.
Okay. If the doctor was 13 cents, I feel like this one is even more niche than the doctor was, or at least than the ninth doctor was. So, you give me $2 of wiggle room. Really, my floor is $2.
Yeah.
So I guess I'm going to go with a $2 floor on this one.
If you guess $2 consistently, you'll probably get most of them right. and then if you get most of them right, I get swirlied. So I'm really hoping that you goof here. Let me keep scrolling up. So she is actually, if you look here, so the commanders, she's one of the face card commanders.
Interesting.
So when I click on her, that makes her
12 cents.
Wow. Okay, so face card commanders is not, does not necessarily, I mean, in fact, I would assume that the face card commanders are probably fairly easy to find.
Yes, they, you have the most of them. So
it's like the blue eyes, white dragons and such that were just like, they're on the box. You know, yeah. When you open the box, that's what you're going to get.
Yeah. It, I mean, a lot of those, I mean, specifically blue eyes, white dragons, if they come from the first edition and mm-hmm. they're still holographic, they're going to be worth a lot of money, but yeah. That's for collector.
But at the time that was like,
yeah,
you could buy them in any given target.
Yeah. The secondary art, the one that's like the actual art from the show, not the like, ah, the one that comes with the deck. I know that one was worth more, but it's not anymore. The ones that came from the tins are worth more because kids don't know how to take care of things. So there's not a lot of good ones left.
Yeah.
The
unfortunate passage of time comes for us all. Especially the blue eyes, white dragons.
Especially the blue eyes, white dragons. So yeah, Miss Rose Tyler, you're 1-1.
Look at Hooray.
You. Look at you, Zach.
Look at me. I'm pulling a real Cassie Profassi up today.
No. No. These are the Zachary guesses. They will change every time I forget what we're calling it. Now, we're going to start getting into some of the other cards. This is the Automaton Soldier.
Okay. So
Auton?
Oh, yeah, the Autons.
Auton, not Automaton. Yeah. Auton Soldier. It costs 4 generic.
2 blue. It's an artifact creature, alien soldier. It's a 0/0 toughness. You may have Auton Soldier enter the battlefield as a copy of any creature on the battlefield, except it isn't legendary, is an artifact in addition to other types, and has Myriad. Myriad is an ability.
Whenever it attacks, for each opponent other than defending player, you may create a token that's a copy of this creature onto the battlefield tapped in attacking that player or a planeswalker they control. We're not going to get into planeswalkers.
I don't feel like that's a very good representation of the Autons. Because the Autons aren't, they're not like, they don't like clone things. It's living plastic. And the idea is that, you know, you'll have like a central hive mind that can give life to plastic. It's not like it's not like an ooze that you cut it in half and it's now two things.
No, so I think what they were going for here is that when it attacks, it spreads.
Okay.
So from my memory of the episode, the longer the satellite was around, the more control over the plastic it had.
Mm-hmm.
Now, unfortunately, with Myriad, at the end step, you exile that creature, the extra token copies. I feel like if you didn't exile mm-hmm. them and they stuck around permanently, I feel like that would be a better representation.
Yeah.
Because it's growing the longer it's there.
Yeah.
But the fact that it is coming in, becoming a copy of whatever.
Yeah.
So, like, theoretically, you could make this a copy of the Ninth Doctor.
Mm-hmm.
You can make this a copy of just about any creature. And that
now, when they become copies, do they copy the effect as well, or is it just the stats?
The stats and any abilities the card may have.
Okay.
Now, if the ability is a enter the battlefield ability, the Myriad will trigger.
Okay.
Which is cool. So, like, when you tap it, it attacks. And so, also, Commander is a 4-player free-for-all. So, when it attacks, you're creating 3 copies. If you have 3 creatures entering the battlefield and all of their enter the battlefield effects are destroy target creature, mm-hmm. you just destroyed 3 creatures. So
it's pretty flexible.
All right. Hmm. But it still does have that 0/0 though.
So does take on the power and toughness of whatever creature you copy.
Yeah. So that's why I'm sitting here like, and it seems expensive from needing 4 generic and 2 water. So I don't think this would be a very good card. I imagine that it probably has its uses. This is probably another niche card, I think.
It is another niche card.
Yeah.
So for those of you at home that don't play Commander, like 99% of the cards are going to be niche. There's only a handful of cards that are considered like real staples. Those cards are going to be like Rhystic Study, Sylvan Library.
Gotcha.
Cards that you have no idea what I'm talking mm-hmm. about. Someone at home is very excited that I just said a card that's very popular.
I mean, someone at home is very excited we're talking about this at all.
Someone at home is very excited.
This is
going
to have fewer listeners than usual, but there's going to be one guy that listens to this a bunch.
So you know how when you introduced this podcast to me and also my former self, you mentioned how Doctor Who fans don't particularly like it when people get things wrong.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's tenfold for people for Magic like the Gathering. So I had to like double check a bunch of rules before I did this, because if I'm just saying stuff that's wrong, the next time I go to the magic shop, I'm gonna get wedgied by all of the nerds that are there. Do you know what it's like being wedgied by a nerd, Zach? It's demeaning. As a nerd, that shouldn't be happening. We should take care of each other.
But anyway, guessing the price on this one, I think this is another low cost one. I'm gonna do it. So I guess my $2 floor.
Your $2 allowance is gonna be pretty dang accurate. I think this one actually creeps up past $2. Yes. So this one is $3.
Oh wow.
And 50 cents.
I feel like emotionally I still got that one wrong, but factually by the rules I was still right. So I'm gonna say you put that fucking shit down in the right column.
You are technically correct, which is the best kind of correct. Yeah, so this card is considered niche, where having lots of different copies of the same card is not always the best strategy, but this creates tokens, which tokens are a very good way to win the game, having lots of creatures.
Gotcha.
You win the game by killing your opponents, or you have a card that just says you win the game. Sometimes it happens. Everyone out there playing Approach of the Second Sun, eat my ass. But this is good for Enter the Battlefield effects. This is good for just, like, there's a card out there called Blightsteel Colossus, where if it hits you, you lose the game.
Well, all right then.
So being able to copy that card and then attack and have four copies of it come out.
Yeah.
It's pretty wild. Like, good luck. Yeah, so it's niche, but it's a more popular niche deck style, if that makes sense.
Interesting. Okay. I guess I hadn't thought about the tokens being.
Yeah, because it's creating other copies of itself.
Yeah, so I hadn't thought through that far yet.
How you having fun so far, Zach?
Yeah, I mean it's a good time.
So this card is a twofer. This is the Face of Bow. It costs one generic, one blue, one red, and one white. Okay. He's a legendary creature, alien advisor. He has tap, so tap is an ability. You may cast a spell with suspend from your hand.
He looks so serious.
He does. Well, I mean, do you notice the art here?
He's thinking real hard.
He's thinking real hard. Do you notice who that is?
Oh yeah, I do see the cat nurses there. So this is actually from series 2 then.
Series 2, yes. Yeah. But this is when we are introduced to the Face of Bo in the second episode, so I'm trying to...
That's fair.
I'm trying to keep it chronological the best I can. When we get to the 10th Doctor...
It'll get a little wibbly-wobbly.
Timey-wimey. Yeah, it's flavorful that way. But so it has tap. You may cast a spell with suspend from your hand. If you do, pay its suspend cost rather than its mana cost. Activate only as a sorcery. So instant speed is whenever. Sorcery speed is only during your main phases.
Okay.
And then it has the flavor text. You are not alone.
Ah, fun. I mean, I'm a big fan of the Face of Bo. It's just a fun idea and design and execution in the show.
So, fun little bit here. Some suspend cards only have the ability suspend. So it has zero mana cost.
Okay.
But you can't cast it. You have to use the suspend ability to cast it.
Oh, interesting. So this basically triggers like parts of your deck that are otherwise unusable.
So they're always usable, but this specifically allows you to cast the suspended card right now instead of having to cast it when it's done being suspended.
Okay.
So normally like a suspend card would have like suspend 2. So you cast it now and it has 2 time counters on it. Mm-hmm. And then on the beginning of your next turn, you take one of those counters off.
Okay. So now, especially seeing how some of the previous cards worked, this probably not coveted, but it's probably certainly useful.
Yes.
Because a lot of that was dealing with like suspended cards in some way or another.
They definitely did a lot of suspend cards with the Doctor Who set.
Okay.
Which makes sense.
Okay. I feel like maybe we need to narrow the window a little bit on the... Because I feel like if I keep guessing $2, with a $2 range.
You have a $1 range now, yeah, Zach.
I think we do need to. Just out of fairness, if most of them are going to fall in that range, I'm still going to guess $2, though, on this one.
Okay. The face of Bo is a 8-cent card.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, he's very niche. He costs 4 mana. He's a 0/4, so he's a great blocker.
Mm-hmm.
But he has no... he doesn't have the reach ability. I feel like if he had like 8 toughness.
Okay. I mean, I didn't expect it to be that high. I expected like maybe a dollar.
Yeah.
I should have guessed a dollar then, but I wanted to give myself a little bit of headroom in case I was off, but I didn't realize I was gonna be off in that direction.
Yeah, you wanted to be 50-50. That's what you wanted.
They really disappointed my boy Bo.
Yeah, I feel like they underutilized him.
Feel like it'd be interesting if you were a transforming card.
Yeah.
So in Magic, there's like two-sided cards,
mm-hmm.
Where it's printed on the front and the back side.
Interesting.
And I feel like it'd be interesting if there was a one face and then it flipped over and became the face of Bo. I feel like that would be very flavorful.
Yeah.
But the next one, you can go ahead and read this one.
Nanogene conversion. It costs 3. What was it?
Generic.
3 generic, 1 blue. It's a sorcery. Choose target creature you control. Each other creature becomes a copy of that creature until end of turn, except it isn't legendary. And the quote is, "Are you my mummy?" And the image is obviously of that, too. I think it's just straight up a still from the show. I don't even think that's art anymore.
So it is art.
Oh, is it art?
Okay. Yeah, they didn't take any stills from the show.
Oh, interesting.
And then they do, for a few of the cards you'll notice, they did draw over the show to give it more of that, like, that magic pop.
Okay.
So this might be a still that's been drawn over, but none of it's just straight up a picture from the show.
Okay, interesting. Does that little lantern symbol on the side of anything, does that just indicate it's a sorcery?
So that indicates it's from the Magic the Gathering set. That's actually the TARDIS.
Oh, fun. I couldn't tell that from this distance. Ooh, choose a target creature you control. Each other creature becomes a copy of that creature. So this feels very similar to that, to the Auton Soldier, in the sense that it makes a bunch of copies, but I think you said the Auton Soldier could copy any card, whereas this one seems to only copy cards you control. Is that accurate?
Correct.
Okay. Ooh. Hmm. I'm going to guess a dollar on this one.
Okay.
Because I feel like this one probably is less useful than the Auton one, but it still is probably up there. So I would have to guess it's probably gonna be about half the price of the Auton. So really, I'm guessing like $1.50. But just in case I'm under, I'm gonna go a dollar.
Okay, so you are technically correct. It is $2.
Okay, cool. Still batting that just above 50-50 Cassie per fast super percentage.
Yes, we're both neck and neck. So it is kind of a niche card. However, some people would consider this a haymaker or a finisher card. So okay. If you
say you had like
10 little guys, they're all 1/1 creatures. There's a bunch of them.
10 Daleks.
10 Daleks. 10 1/1 Daleks. And you can't kill someone with 10 1/1s. I mean, you can if they have 10 health and they have no blockers. But for the most part, you're not going to win the game that way.
Mm-hmm.
What if you had one card that could win you the game if you hit one person with it?
Yeah.
What if you had 10 of them now? That card makes that a reality.
Yeah, true enough.
Say you wanted all of those Blightsteel Colossus, because it's not a legendary creature. You can make a copy. You make all of your cards a copy of that card.
Interesting.
So is it insane? No, it's 4. It costs 4, so that's pretty good. In Commander, it varies versus like what group you're playing with. My group, we play, it's kind of an inside joke with the community. We all play about level 7 on scale from 1 to 10.
Okay.
What is a 7? No one really knows. We claim that my deck's a 7 and then I win on turn 4.
Okay.
Which is pretty wild. Usually lower tier decks, like the decks that they built out of the box, are all probably about level 5.
Okay.
Tier 5. They're flavorful mostly, but they have some cards that can win the game and are pretty good. This is one of those cards that if everything's going right for you, you're probably going to cast this on turn 6 and win the game.
Okay.
Which turn 6 winning the game like entirely, that's pretty wild, but it's not unheard of in, yeah. in lower powered groups. In my group, if you're not winning the game on turn six, or at least killing one of the players on turn six, mm-hmm. everyone's hand is jank and and it things are going horribly wrong.
Buckle in, everyone.
We're in for the long haul. Yeah, so you were technically correct with that. The next card is one of my favorites.
Okay.
It's one of my favorite moments from Magic the Gathering from Doctor Who.
Okay.
And it's also one of my favorite cards that they printed for the set, which might be a hint.
Oh, everybody lives. Just this once, Rose. Everybody lives. It's one generic, one white, instant. All creatures gain hexproof and indestructible until end of turn. Players gain hexproof until end of turn. Players can't lose life this turn, and players can't lose the game or win the game this turn. Interesting. So that's all creatures, even on other fields.
Yes.
So this is
everybody lives.
Yeah. So this is like a turn stall is what I'm.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's what I've seen it mostly used for is to stop someone else from winning.
Yeah. Or like if you've got something like you said, we've got these suspend cards that are out for four turns. If you just need another turn to get it to come out. That just sort of makes that happen.
Almost. So it doesn't count. The suspend counters don't get taken off on other people's turns. It's only on your turn.
Well, yeah. What I mean is like if you're one turn away from it being unsuspended, this will get you there safely.
Yes, it will.
I feel like that's going to be pretty good. The question is if it's common or not.
So another little hint that you can have moving forward. This little symbol here.
Mm-hmm.
If it's black, it's a common. If it's silver, it's an uncommon. If it's gold, it's a rare. And if it's orange.
I feel like it should be mythic. It should be blue if it were mythic, just because it's the TARDIS. But I guess that's part of the...
So there's actually kind of been an argument in like the fandom, I guess, of Magic the Gathering mm-hmm. that mythic rares should never have been orange to begin with.
Interesting.
They should have been blue, but it would have been hard to tell the difference between the gray and the blue.
Fair enough.
Because at the beginning of the game, the printing quality was good. But kind of smudgy.
All right, then. If that's the case, I guess... Because this one's silver. Is that what I'm saying?
No, that's gold.
That's gold.
That's gold. So you're not looking at this symbol down here. You're looking at the symbol right there.
Yeah, I guess it was just the coloring from where I was looking at it. So you said gold was the second highest?
Is rare.
Is rare.
Yeah, okay. Second highest.
Okay. If that's the case, I'm going to guess $2 on this one.
Okay. So there's other cards in the game. One of them's called like Teferi's Protection. And Teferi's Protection says that you and all the creatures you control phase out of the game until your next turn. So this is one of those cards where it says you can't lose the game. Yeah. No one can win the game.
Yeah.
That's really powerful.
Yeah.
So that card is $10.
Oh, okay.
Everybody, it costs 2 mana, so it can you. Very little resource.
Yeah. For me, it was that basically nobody could do anything.
Yeah.
It was just waiting out a turn. That was where I was like, it's not just that you can't lose. It was also that you can't win. And so I'm like, I don't feel like that would be a huge deal, but I guess I should have been thinking more about that. So,
So one of the biggest things with this card is it says that players can't lose life this turn and players can't lose the game or win the game this turn.
Mm-hmm.
So
again, calling out all you motherfuckers that play Approach the Second Sun.
The second time you cast that card, you win the game. I can cast this in response to you casting that card for the second time and you can't win the game anymore. And that ability goes away.
Interesting.
So it stops you from losing the game or... because Commander, again, is a 4-player free-for-all.
Mm-hmm.
Part of the game is politicking with your opponents. if I save your life right now, you have to help me kill that person.
Interesting. Okay.
And then, you make a deal with them and you try to make it in your favor. But so a couple times I've seen someone, mostly to my friend Dustin, if I save you right now, you have to help me kill Dustin.
Mm-hmm.
Because Dustin plays a deck... That's a problem. Dustin, if you're listening, you might be asking which one. It's Henzi. Henzi's the problem, and I hate you for playing it. It's just a quick off-topic rant. It's beautifully constructed, mm-hmm. and I can't stand losing to it every single fucking time. And like it's to the point where like I have to build a completely separate deck to worry about that one.
Oh wow.
But then my other friends are gonna dunk on me because now I've only worried about one person.
Mm-hmm.
It's really Dustin, good job. I'm mad at you.
So now we're moving on.
This is not a double-sided card, but this is a double print card. It's gonna be a little hard to read, and I apologize for that. Let me see if I can rotate
double
it.
Double print? I guess we'll see what that means here,
yes,
in just a second. But
so
that's...
some cards in Magic the Gathering are more than one card. This one is one of them. Coward and Killer.
Oh, okay.
So one of these cards are like two mini cards printed on the same card. So you can cast one or both.
Okay.
But once you cast it, it's gone.
So Coward
is a sorcery that costs one generic, one red. Target creature can't block this turn and becomes a coward in addition to its other types until the end of turn. Time travel. Time travel should have parentheses and explain what it does, but because there's not a lot of room for text, mm-hmm. it basically means you can either increase suspend counters or decrease suspend counters.
Interesting.
And then killer costs two generic and two red. Killer deals 3 damage to target creature and each other creature that shares a creature type with it.
Okay, so that's like all your reds, all your blues, is that?
Not color types. So remember how like the doctor is a doctor?
Oh,
and
okay.
Then Rose was a human.
Gotcha.
So killer does 3 damage to all humans. Destroy gotcha. All humans.
Gotcha. Exterminate all humans!
Exterminate! Deal 3 damage to all humans.
But this is one of my other favorite cards, just because it's a fantastic moment in the show.
Yeah.
And I think putting them side by side like this, it flavor wise, I know that really you're supposed to be talking about the flavor. I think the flavor here is tasty.
Yeah, it's really nice, especially because you have this look of like sheer terror on Eccleston's face, which for me isn't the enjoyable part of that moment. The enjoyable part is Eccleston like tauntingly, laughingly mad at the Dalek, where it's like really, or it's like egging him on.
Yeah.
Although I guess this is probably at the more the end of the episode when the Dalek has like opened its casing to see the sun.
I feel like this moment here on Coward, that because if you look behind him, it looks like they're still in the room.
Yeah.
So this is probably when he's taunting the Dalek, or at least when Rose is in the room with the Dalek and then touches it.
Yeah. So it is interesting. I like the flavor. I like the way that when you see them side by side, that they're looking at one another.
Yes. They framed that very, very well.
So so when you say double print,
mm.
are these two separate cards that just look together?
They
or
are two separate cards. So you can cast one or the other mm-hmm. or both.
Okay. So, and we're talking about the price of these two together then?
So it is technically one card.
Okay.
It is two castable cards on the same piece of cardboard.
Oh,
and so it's two and okay.
Oh,
two now and
one. I do see that it's like sideways now.
Yeah,
okay.
I turned it sideways because otherwise it would be in your hand like...
If it's two effects, I feel like that's got to be... Can I see it one more time?
Yeah.
It looks like that also has the gold printing on it.
Yes, it does.
Okay, so if we're going with my... We still have only the $1 range in here. I'm going to guess $5.
$5.
$5 dues.
$5 dues. Well, Zach, I hate to break the news to you. This is a 7-cent card.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So
it is a good card in specific decks.
The first half, to being able to turn a creature into a coward, eh.
Mm-hmm.
Eh. And then if you end up making... It has a time travel ability too, so that's good if you're using time travel abilities.
Yeah, because that's what I was thinking, is like the time travel thing feels like it has a similar effect to the other card.
But the other one, dealing 3 damage to all of one kind of creature, that's good. It costs 4 mana, so it hits all of them. So like if someone has a bunch of humans out and humans happen to be 2/2s, you're killing all the humans.
2/2s.
But it... Yes.
Turning a creature into... a coward, and then hitting it with the ability means you hit only the cowards.
All right, then.
So there's only one coward. You've wasted it.
Yeah.
So the first half is subjective. The second half really is the better half. The fact that it is a sorcery, if it were an instant speed spell, mm-hmm. it'd probably be worth a buck.
Okay.
But because it's sorcery speed only, it's going to be worth a little bit less. Magic players are like that sometimes. It's
yeah, just I
like,
mean, oh, it's suboptimal. I understand the rules of magic. This is clearly going way over my head in a lot of cases.
Yeah. This next one is called Run for Your Life.
Which is funny because this is actually from the first episode.
Nice to meet you, Rose. Run for your life.
Oh, snap. It is.
Yeah.
Huh. I misplaced that. Because in on the art, I guess, yeah, no, that makes more. I'll show you. I'll scoot over in a second. But to me, when I was looking at it, I was gathering the cards.
It looked like they were running in the bunker.
Oh.
Because that's, you know, and she doesn't run fast enough. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, that's definitely the underground when they're running from the Autons the first time. But I could see how you would think that because of the piping definitely gives it that also has a very similar feel.
Yeah, and I don't know why, but like in my head, I saw red all around them when they were running from the Dalek, but there definitely wasn't.
Well, I think what you're thinking of is the moment where the Dalek causes the fire extinguisher to go off, and so it's pouring down rain, and that does give it a distinctive, like, I don't think it's red, but it's definitely like purpley kind of tone. Yeah,
and also the Doctor's not there in that scene.
Yeah.
He's yelling at Rose to run.
Yeah. So.
So, look at me. I will take a point for being wrong.
Also, this is why I know a lot about Doctor Who.
Yes, I know a lot about Magic the Gathering.
But so, it's an instant speed spell. One or two creatures each gain haste until the end of turn. They can't be blocked this turn, except for creatures with haste. And then it has escape. It costs... Escape is a separate cost. You can cast it from your graveyard by paying two generic, one blue, one red, and exiling four other cards from your graveyard.
Okay.
And it allows you to recast the spell.
One or two target creatures gain haste until the end. They can hit. Oh, I feel, I mean, because when you say they can't be blocked, that means they can just attack the opponent directly, yeah?
Absolutely. This ability is called Evasion.
Okay. I mean, that's got to be pretty worthwhile. Another gold card, it looks like.
Being able to recast it from your graveyard.
Yeah,
or
recast it from your graveyard. Yeah. I'm going to go $4 on this one.
$4. 6 cents.
Wow.
Yeah.
I never would have guessed that.
Yeah. There are a lot of cards in Magic that are pretty good, mm-hmm. honestly. Like, this card, not bad.
Mm-hmm.
But you also have to take into context the different colors, which I might not have... I definitely did not explain in the beginning. Each... So there are five colors, technically six if you want to count colorless, but we're not going to. Red is all about being fast and doing damage. Blue is all about being tricky, drawing cards. Black is all about being destroying and recurring things. White is about being a little bit more oppressive or a strong presence. Green is about growing, ramp, or just being big. Yeah, so that's really what the color
is. And I've really only seen red, blue, and white for these so far.
So far, yes. So with Eccleston,
his colors are blue and red, and then Rose is white. So that color trio is called...
Oh no, they're going to make fun of me.
Light purple.
No, my friends are going to make fun of me. I'm forgetting the name of that trio. Jeskai. There we go. It's called Jeskai. So when you're in these colors, you're trying to be fast and tricky.
Okay.
So being able to recast from your graveyard is pretty solid.
All right.
Typically, that's an ability reserved for black, is pulling things out of the graveyard.
Okay.
Black or green. It kind of depends on how it's done. So this is a bit of a tricky card, but it's very niche because typically in red and blue, you're not trying to make your creatures unblockable mm-hmm. for the most part. You're trying to combo or your creature already has flying, so it's a thing that's harder to block anyways. So
okay.
it's a very niche card.
Okay.
Is it cool because it only costs two? Yes.
Is it not that great? Subjectively. Now we're gonna get into some of the very fun cards.
Good, because all these so far have been boring.
Yeah.
I don't like these.
Well, this is one of my favorite cards.
Dalek Drone, artifact creature Dalek, 3 colorless, 2 black, flying menace. It's a menace.
So menace is an ability. So in Magic, flying menace, these are things that are like keywords. Haste, it's another keyword. It's just an ability that the card has indefinitely. When the cards were first made, they would say what the ability does. So like flying can only be blocked by creatures with
reach, or other creatures with flying. Menace can only be blocked by two or more creatures.
Okay. Interesting.
First strike, it hits first. Double strike, it hits twice. Haste, it can be activated and can attack on the first turn it's out. Otherwise, cards have summoning sickness. They can block on the turn that they come out, but they cannot attack.
Yeah, I remember summoning sickness from when I played on the video game, but its ability is exterminate. When Dalek Drone enters the battlefield, destroy target creature and opponent controls, that player loses 3 life. Holy shit. It's like, yeah, that thing, it's dead, and you take damage.
Yeah, fuck you that, and fuck you.
I mean, it is kind of expensive. It does cost 5.
Yeah.
So, I do get that. And it's not, it's an artifact creature, not a legendary, so it can't be your commander either.
Cannot be your commander, no.
Okay.
So, I will let you know that artifacts do have a lot of synergy.
Okay.
But the fact that it costs 5, it's expensive.
Okay.
The ability, rock solid.
Yeah. So I'm gonna go $4 again.
$4.
Four Dalek dollars.
$4. What does a Dalek dollar look like, Zach?
I think it's just a bomb. Just hands it to you and you blow up.
Don't know why it got me. This is a 20-cent card.
20-cent card, okay.
20 cents. There are other printings of it, so like the serialized version of it is expensive. Mm-hmm. It's serialized. There's an alternate art I know that goes for a few bucks.
Okay. Because
it's a little bit more rare. But yeah, it costs 5 mana.
Yeah, I don't know how you can only play one mana a turn, is that?
You may, so typically you can only play one from your hand per turn, but then there's other spells that allow you to put more into play.
Okay.
So this is typically coming out on turn 5.
Okay.
If you're going to
play...
And
as you've already established, by turn 6, the game is over, so...
By turn 6, things should be happening.
Yeah.
Some wild things should be happening.
So I really should have thought that through a little bit more about the... About
yeah, so
the
this turn. Is... I mean, it's not a bad card, not going to lie. I run this card in mm-hmm. one of my decks, but in that deck, artifacts matter a lot, and mm-hmm. A lot of the other cards reduce the cost of my artifacts.
Gotcha.
So I could put this out in turn 3. Turn 2, turn 3, I've done it on turn 2 once, but turn 3 for the most part, and Flying Menace, it's good because it allows me to attack in the air at people, so it's harder to block, and the fact that it has Menace means you need 2 creatures with flying, or 2 creatures with reach, that can block it.
Interesting.
So
okay.
I'm hitting you, I'm going to deal 3 damage to you for destroying one of your creatures, and then I'm going to slap you in the face for 3 in a second. And then also in that deck, I make a lot of copies of my artifacts.
Mm-hmm.
So I do end up making a bunch of Dalek drops.
Wow.
Yeah, it's not a fun deck. I mean, it's fun for me. It's not fun for my friends. This next, it's a spell. It is just exterminate.
Exterminate.
Exterminate. It costs 2. Oh, specifically exterminate, by the way, one of the few cards in Magic the Gathering that has what's that called?
Punctuation?
Punctuation. Thank you. Hey, you can edit that part out, right?
I can.
Could you?
We'll see.
Ah, man.
But it has punctuation. It's 2 colorless, 1 black.
Yes.
It's a sorcery.
It has replicate. You can tap an untapped Dalek you control to replicate it, which means cast it again. And then it destroys target creature. Its controller loses 3 life.
Okay.
So it has the... It
exact
has
same ability as the Dalek drone.
Yes. But if you have... So say I have the Dalek drone out and then I cast this,
mm-hmm.
I can tap the Dalek drone and cast this twice.
Interesting.
So sometimes the replicate cost will be like an amount of mana plus a tap ability. Mm-hmm. I pay the mana and then I tap an untapped Dalek and I create a second copy.
Okay.
So if I have 5 Daleks, I'm blowing things up.
Yeah, that's for sure.
I'm exterminating.
But the other one didn't cost very much, though. You said 16 cents was the Dalek?
6 cents.
6 cents. I'm going to guess a dollar on this one, too.
Okay.
This might be worth a little bit more because it's cheaper to summon or cheaper to cast. But I feel like I've been overshooting it a little bit, so I need to come back
down.
You
are correct. This card is 12 cents.
Alrighty.
So twice as much as a Dalek.
Alrighty.
How do you feel about your score so far, Zach?
I mean, I'm a little under 50%, but I feel like I'm getting better the longer we go about this. So hopefully, as we come up to our first hour of recording.
Oh boy.
Next one. This is the Dalek Emperor. I thought about making the Dalek Emperor a commander, like a deck itself. My favorite colors to play in Magic are black and red, like the impulse and the oppression of destroying things. But
that doesn't sound fucked up at all.
It honestly, it sounds really bad on paper. It makes me sound like a massive masochist.
Or sadist.
Sadist.
Please edit that part out too. I like being able to control the board, but allow myself to have quick resources. So red is impulse. It's doing things quickly and reactionary to yourself.
Okay.
Black is a little bit more oppressive and doing things to your opponents.
Okay.
So the Dalek Emperor has, it costs 5 generic, 1 black, 1 red. It's a legendary artifact creature, Dalek, with affinity for Daleks. This spell costs 1 less for each Dalek you control.
Other Daleks you control have haste, so they can attack on the turn that attack and be activated the turn they come out.
Okay.
And at the beginning of combat on your turn, each opponent faces a villainous choice. That player sacrifices a creature they control, or you create a 3/3 Dalek artifact creature with menace.
Interesting. So, and does the 3/3 that you create count for exterminate?
No, it doesn't. Okay. Well, it can count for exterminate the spell.
Okay, that's what I meant.
But you can only tap those creatures when you cast the spell.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. So it's not like it's a one-off. Remember, okay. You can only have one copy of the spell.
Yeah, that's why I was checking. I was trying to make sure I knew, because I was trying to think of how this would be used in the context of the deck.
Yeah.
Because I feel like this would pretty obviously have to be your commander, considering it costs so fucking much. Like this, like the cost on it really is just like, hey, you either pick this as your commander or you do not play it.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say this is probably also $1.
The Dalek Emperor costs 11 cents.
All right. Yeah, that's what I thought. I had a feeling that it was going to be up there with the same sort of Dalek price scheme.
Yeah.
Because it really seems like there's, at least so far with the Daleks, it doesn't seem like any one of them really stands out. It seems like they really only work if they're all together.
Yeah, I think that they did that on purpose.
Yeah. But to be fair, that's what makes the Daleks terrifying, is they're a horde.
Yes. The more Daleks that are out, the bigger problem they are. I mean, one Dalek in the show is a problem.
Yes.
One Dalek is capable of exterminating.
One Dalek is a problem for humans, but for the Doctor, one Dalek is nothing. So.
Yeah. But the more Daleks that there are, the bigger the issue. And
yes.
Obviously, I mean, the Dalek Emperor giving all Daleks haste, also on combat, the beginning of combat, before I've decided who is going to attack, you can give me another Dalek that can attack this turn. So, yeah, it gives you some options there.
Yeah.
The next one is going to be the Dalek Squadron. So this one has Menace. A Dalek Squadron costs 2 generic, 1 black. It's an artifact creature Dalek with Menace, so it requires 2 creatures to block it, and Myriad. When the creature attacks, you create a copy for each opponent you control, and then you exile those at the beginning of your end step.
Right? All right.
So,
can you turn it to me so I can see
yes.
it?
Yes, and then very good flavor text at the bottom.
Yeah. The flavor text on this one is find the doctor, seek, locate, destroy. So
I do love seeing like the gears spin in your head trying to figure out like, is this good? Is this playable?
Yeah, because I'm trying to just imagine what this does.
The look you're giving is very similar to like what I look like when I'm trying to build a new deck. It's like, is this worth it? Am I gonna put this in? What the fuck is this?
This is $1. I can't imagine this one being.
Yeah, I know because I've looked at a few of the cards going into this. Also, while putting together this list, it really made me think about building another deck, which Katie was like, please, Katie, my wife, was like, please, please don't.
You have a wife?
I have a lot of things to know about Zach. yeah, the card is 18 cents.
Okay. So worth a little bit more than the other Dalek cards we've looked at so far, but
yeah, it's still very niche, but it's a little bit more playable.
Yeah.
Yeah, we are getting to the end of the first part. Everything comes to dust.
The end of series one here.
Series one. Everything comes to dust. It costs 7 generic.
Good God.
And 3 white. It's a sorcery with Convoke. Your creature can help cast this spell, or your creatures can help cast this spell. Each creature you tap while casting this spell pays for 1 generic mana. So if I have a bunch of 1/1 guys, I can tap 7 of them, and now this only costs 3 white.
Okay.
Then, exile all creatures except for those that share a creature type with creatures that you convoked this spell, all artifacts, and all enchantments. So, if I tapped a human to help pay for this, all my humans are safe.
Okay.
If I tapped a doctor, all my doctors are safe. But all artifacts and all enchantments go away, so all Daleks go away. Because all Daleks are all artifacts.
Yep.
All of your mana rocks, if you have any things that tap for mana, any creatures that you have that are specifically artifacts or enchantments or are not the kind of creature I used are gone now.
All right.
So this is called a board wipe.
Yeah, it looks like it.
Some people call them board flips. I like board wipe a little bit better.
Table flip.
I'm just going to let you know, this is a good card.
I kind of figured.
Any card that destroys especially the
because,
whole board.
At first the cost is there, but then you like factor in that effect with the cost and you realize, oh, this is actually like, there's a reason it costs this much. It does. Yes. It's there's like a mechanic behind it. So I'm going to guess, because that other one was $10. I'm going to guess $9.
$2.03.
Okay, shit.
It because it costs more than 4 mana, it's going to be reduced in price. Yeah. Now, flavor-wise, again, I think this is delicious. Because Rose saves the day and destroys everything that's not a Dalek. Or everything that is a Dalek and not a human, basically. Yes. So flavor-wise, that Convoke ability, oh, great job. A round of applause at home for the team that developed that card. I use this in a deck that types of creatures matter. It's my tribal deck. A tribe is like humans. I'm playing all tribes. It is convoluted. I will not get into it here. But it's very useful for me because I usually have a lot of creatures out. Okay. And I need to keep them all out.
Gotcha.
Consistently. So this allows me to set back the rest of the group so I can survive another day.
All right, then. Interesting.
And then the last card for this series, Parting of the Ways.
That looks interesting.
Yeah, so each doctor got their own. This card is called a saga. Each doctor got their own saga.
Okay.
So this is Christopher Eccleston's. It costs 4 generic, 2 red. As the saga enters the battlefield, you draw after your draw step, add a lore counter. Sacrifice after 3 lore counters.
Okay.
So when it comes out with automatically 1 lore counter.
Okay.
And then at the beginning of your next turn, you add another lore counter. And then after you add the third one, the saga is over. The story has been told.
Okay.
Sagas are very flavorful cards. They do a very good job making them in Magic. But the first one, exile the top 5 cards of your library. For each non-land card exiled this way, put a number of time counters on that card equal to the mana value. If it doesn't have suspend, it gains suspend. So that allows you to suspend a card that you couldn't normally.
Okay.
So you have another future thing to do.
Okay.
And then time travel, then time travel.
What the fuck does that mean?
So you can reduce or increase time counters on anything.
And then do it again?
Yes, you time travel once. You can so theoretically,
I enjoy the idea that this card lets you do something and then immediately undo the thing you just did.
Yeah, you could just go, no, I need this to go off in 2 turns. So you can decrease it and then increase it so effectively nothing happens.
Yeah.
Or, because it has 5 time counters on it, you can make it now, because you'll have 5, and then it'll have 4 at the beginning of your turn, and then it'll now have 2. So it's coming out a lot sooner.
Yeah, for sure.
And then for each opponent, destroy up to 1 target artifact that player controls.
Interesting. All right, I mean, that's a very, like, interesting idea for a card. Like, I've not seen any of the sagas before. This is my first introduction to one. That's a really interesting idea. I really like that.
Flavor wise, again, it's going to be one of those like fantastic cards. They do a great job
making it flavorful. Again, the design team that worked on this set, you guys did a fantastic job. I don't know if any of you are listening, but if you are, thank you.
Yeah, it's and this also really works for Parting of the Ways as well.
Yes.
Oof, but it's expensive in
terms of
mana cost. So I'm still going to guess a dollar.
That is a very good guess. I'm going to also assume that you are correct.
I mean, you don't have to assume. You can finish looking it up.
Oh, I'm going to look it up, but I'm going to look into the future and tell you that it costs 11 cents.
All right. So, yeah, that's... it seemed really complicated for its cost. Like, it didn't seem like a straight up just like... a really simple positive effect. It seemed like this is a complex strategy I'm doing near the end of the game.
Yeah, this is honestly, this is a card you would cast if you have nothing else to do in your hand.
Yeah.
If you have nothing else at all, this is what you would be doing.
Yes.
Otherwise, you're not gonna cast this. but yeah, so we're at the end of series one. Wow. So far, what do you think of the cards?
They're beautifully designed. I really like it really feels like they put a lot of thought into how to translate these moments and characters from TV into a combat world where they don't necessarily jive. Like, the Daleks obviously feel like monsters, but the Doctor is not, especially Nuhu's Doctor, does not feel like a combatant in any way. They're more like a character of wits.
Yeah.
So the fact that they managed to have these characters that are generally not combative but still make it feel like they're useful in this environment is...
You'll see in other Doctors as we progress through this that for the most part, they have activated abilities that require them to tap, which would stop them from being able to attack.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll be too busy doing something else to attack. Notably, the Ninth Doctor does not have a tap ability. So he is more open to attacking, which we do notice in his character in the beginning.
Yeah, he's the soldier of the...
Yeah. Oh. There's some flavorful cards we'll get to on a later date. But there is the War Doctor.
Yeah.
That card... is Nuck and Futz. Yeah, I'm really excited to be doing this more often with you since this is no longer a Doctor Who podcast, and now it's a Magic the Gathering podcast.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't really what I wanted when we started going into this, but if it's what excites you, then I guess that's what we'll be
it's
doing.
It's a whole new world of things for me to do.
Oh, God! Oh, God, now Liam's been struck with a piano. Oh, God, when will the pianists upstairs learn the error of their ways? Oh, no! Oh, whatever shall I do without a second host of this podcast? Oh, she's going!
Back? I remember these teeth. Anyways, I'm back.
Oh, well that's pretty convenient.
Yeah, right? The timing of it all.
Well, I
didn't know I could regenerate from just a puddle of mush, but here I am.
Well, I'm glad you're back, because that means we can keep going with the podcast as I foresaw it. And we'll continue that on the next episode of Who Is My Doctor?
Who is my doctor?
Who is indeed?
See, the joke there now is me. I'm my own doctor.
Wow. Female empowerment. That certainly was something, wasn't it, folks? Liam actually came to me with this idea a few months ago, and I thought it seemed perfect for our first April Fool's Day episode. We actually recorded us covering the cards for both the first and second series, but it ended up being so long I had to cut it here. If you liked it and would be interested in hearing more about the Doctor Who Magic the Gathering cards, be sure to let us know at our various social medias. You can find us on Twitter, Threads, Blue Sky, and Instagram at WIMDPod. That's WIMDPOD. If you're enjoying our podcast, please give us a like or 5 stars to help us get discovered by the algorithm. And next week, we will really, actually, finally be looking at Genesis of the Daleks. So to be sure you know when it comes, don't forget to subscribe. This episode came out a day early to celebrate April Fool's Day, but next week, we will be back on Tuesday, because Tuesdays are still Who's Days.